摩达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈多萨玛萨布达斯布当萨拉南嘎恰米达曼萨拉南嘎恰米萨行萨拉南嘎恰米德提安比布当萨拉南嘎恰米ดุติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิดุติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิทุติยัมปิพุทธังสรณังกัจฉามิทุติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิทุติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิปานาติปาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิอาทินาทานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิอาเมสุมิจาจาราเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิโมสาวาดาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรายามัจจาปมาทัทนะเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสาธุสาธุสาธุOkay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Then we start. Okay, very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Okay, today, before we start, I want to distribute some of the Cameron Highland retreat notes. This coming 22nd is the retreat. So the full retreat will be 22nd March until 30th of March. So those who have already registered and you have not paid your money, you go and pay either to Sui An or Stephanie or Miss Lee. I will pass you all the notes first. Then next Sunday will be the official briefing for the retreat. And it's very important that you come for the briefing so that you understand the purpose and intent. Then to benefit from this retreat, you must go back and read through the notes. So I have here about 10 sets. I hope it's enough. You can come and collect and write your name. For those who already attended last year's retreat, then you only tick and ask for the notes. Okay? Then if you have already got the transcript, then I don't have to give you the transcript. The transcript is the blue book, remember? This blue book on the 12th September 2013. The meditation retreat transcript done at Sui An's house. Then the chanting book is this one. This is the original colored copy. The normal one is a white color one. But it's the same as last year's retreat chanting notes. If you already have, you don't need it, then we save a copy, okay? This, whatever saving, will go back to the Kayanamita Fund that will donate for the retreat. Means you participate in the wholesomeness. But if you don't have, or like Sister Sue, She left it in New Zealand. And then you can ask for a copy, you don't worry. Yeah? I printed about 40 sets, which I think should be enough, because the total number going at the moment is about 45. But last minute, it may turn up to be about 50, I don't know. So I have printed 40 sets. Hopefully, most of them would have the chanting book. This one is Miss Leon. You take this one. Okay, you can come and write your name. Those who are going for the retreat, you write your name, then you take, then I pass it to you. You got the chanting book? Chanting book you don't have. Oh, okay. You don't have chanting book, huh? You don't have chanting book, you take this set. You write your name. Miss Leon, this set. You want white or blue? Any color. Stephanie? You have your copy? Oh, I given it. No, there is a chanting book. The notes. You take all. No, except the transcript maybe. It's okay, cross ni you liao, transcript, the blue color. That one you have, then you cancel that. So you take these two. This is Jiu Hao. Okay. Stephanie, you can take this one. Li Hun, come. Notes, good. You want only the notes. Okay. So you need the chanting book and the notes. This one. You write your name there. Who else? Anne? Oh, not going. Oh, Soju? This one you have already. The notes. You have it there. Okay. You write your name. Okay, for the rest, you make sure you have this lesson 3 notes. We will go through the lesson 3 notes after. Okay. Monica, you are going? Oh, it's okay. I tell what, I will still give you a set. You only need the notes. No, the note is different. This year one is different. Together with the program. I tell you what, you just put your name. You put your name, but you just have the notes. Just stick this, okay. The rest no need. It's okay. So I just briefly brief you all. The note is different from last year. The program sheet, for those who are going, you have to read through the program sheet. There are 6 pages. There's an introduction that explains how the retreat is to be conducted. Then there is this main purpose, why you go for this retreat. Our main purpose is to realize the noble teachings of the Buddha. We are sincerely cultivating the much needed heedfulness as advised by the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23. So heedfulness is the most important. Then with the heedfulness, we will realize the noble truth or the noble teachings of the Buddha. Then to train ourselves during the meditation retreat to develop a very stable daily mindfulness, the silent mind with inner awareness leading to the heedfulness from the moment we commence our trip. To diligently maintain noble silence of mind and speech during the retreat duration as a sign of clear comprehension of our sincerity of purpose, the domain of meditation, then clear comprehension of suitability and non-delusion, followed by our respect for the way place. Then always learn to be at ease and naturally relax and aware via heedfulness most of the time. Always move, speak and act naturally, but with inner awareness throughout the day to stabilize your five spiritual faculties until they become very stable and unshakable. Then with the stable daily mindfulness or awareness, use it to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path via constant creative contemplation, reflection and inquiry into the Four Noble Truths, leading to the perfection of all the Noble Eightfold Path factors of right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right living, right effort, right mindfulness and right samadhi, so that you are incapable of any evil whenever you are heedful. To maintain this heedfulness of Appamada training throughout the day, to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, to realize the insight knowledges and wisdom needed to liberate your mind, leading to the enlightenment or the cessation of form and mind as taught by Lord Buddha. Then lastly is to diligently develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma needed to understand the Buddha's teaching. The important essential Dhamma are the five mental hindrances or the five Pancha Nivaranas, the five spiritual faculty or Pancha Indriyas, the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, followed by the seven factors of enlightenment or Satta Bhujangas, then the three wholesome practices, Dana, Sila and Bhavana, and the five daily contemplation. Yeah? Then after that, you read through the program, they are all there, yeah? Where to assemble, what time to come and all those things, they are described there. Yeah? Then this year, we are going to add in some form of short exercises, about 10 minutes of morning exercises, because this will keep you more awake. Then for those who really wants to develop anapanasati, actually exercise will help you, because exercise will develop the breathing, and the breathing, when it has become normal through exercise, anapanasati very easy. Yeah. Most people who lack exercise find it very difficult to cultivate anapanasati. I come to realize this during the early years, because I was asking myself, how come I can do anapanasati so easily, other people cannot? And then I realized I play a lot of badminton. I play until my breathing become very stable. So when I sit, that breathing helped me a lot. I play until I like, in the midst of the game, I no need to breathe one. I like can hold my breath and my stamina is very good. So because of that, I know finally if you exercise, it not only help your body. Exercise has a lot of good advantages if you know how to do it mindfully. Mindfully means you train until you're very skillful. Skillful means your body and mind move as one, even badminton or whatever. When you become skillful, you have mindfulness. But having mindfulness doesn't mean you are heedful, understand? Having mindfulness, you may not be heedful. The difference between heedfulness and mindfulness is a person who is mindful never use that mindfulness to cultivate the wisdom needed to become awakened or enlightened. They use mindfulness to become very skillful in whatever they do, like yoga, qigong, tai chi, or whatever, even football, badminton, you become very skillful. But you use it to develop the skill, not to develop the wisdom. So that type of mindfulness is not the right mindfulness. It's not samasati. It's sati. But it's not samasati. Samasati is right mindfulness. You use mindfulness to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha so that you can realize his teaching. When you combine mindfulness together with the cultivation, then it becomes heedfulness. It becomes apamada. Otherwise, it's just mindful. So exercise, if you know how to do, you do it and you're very skillful, it becomes sati, mindfulness. Then it helps you to develop anapana sati very easily. Then at the same time, it allows you to sweat. Sweat is a process of the human body, the exchange of what they call sweat. When you sweat, a lot of the what they call toxin or what can be taken out from the body. Then your cells, all the water content and the toxin, they renew themselves. Understand? Then you drink water. Then all these cells, they replenish, recuperate. So it's a good way of actually developing metabolism. Then after that, you normally fart quite a lot because when you exercise, the gaseous or the toxin all can come out. So in a way, it brings about health because at the same time it pumps your heart, but you don't overdo it. You exercise to the limit you can and push your heart a little bit, but not too much, so that this body can develop what they call the exercise to recuperate from your lethargic state. Means it develops the ability for you to harness whatever energy you need from this body. A person who constantly exercise can actually burn their fats, burn their protein or whatever carbohydrate that you eat, so that it can help you regulate your bodily sugar, blood sugar and all those things. Then there are many advantages. So this year we are going to incorporate some very simple exercises and movement. So if you can, bring along some very lightweight, the 1 kg, 2 kg type of weight. You can use that to actually develop your muscles too. Because most of us lack this muscle exercise. Sometimes you exercise, but your hand doesn't have much exercise because your leg, you walk a lot, but your hand, you seldom develop the muscle. So because of that, you are not balanced in a certain way. So we can do some simple exercises involving movement and weight. So this is the only difference. Then after that, all of the notes, Heart Sutta notes, and all of the other notes, you go back and slowly read through. They are the important dhammas that I have extracted from all the Heart Sutta notes or the previous year's notes that we have printed out for sharing. Not all, but the useful ones. So you can read through. It will help you and benefit you a lot. So that when you come for the retreat, when I go through it again under retreat condition, it will go in very fast and it will stabilize very fast. Then you will know what these things are and you will know how to develop the meditation and the cultivation and you can progress very fast. Okay? Okay. Then for those who are not going or you can't go, if you want the notes, you can request for it because I don't have much extra copy. I don't know how many copy. After the retreat only I know. If I got spare, I will maybe give it to you all. Then you all just donate to Kayana Mitra Fund. But If I don't have enough, you can go and photo stamp for me. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Okay, with that, maybe we can start today's Satipatthana Sutta officially. Okay. We'll go through the notes. We will review the lesson 3 notes. Lesson 3 of Satipatthana Sutta, dated 2nd March. Okay. So today is the 9th of March. So we will go through the short notes. These are the short notes to assist in the understanding. We only go through the question that was asked by Brother Hung. I think this one is very good. Because the other things are actually in the notes already. Except I explain a little more detail. So if you want to develop the deeper understanding, you listen to the recording. We are not going to repeat all this on the notes. But the notes is just to meant to supplement whatever new topic that we feel that you need the notes, then we will put it in. So the question that was asked that day was very good. So I will go through. Okay, question 1. This was asked by, I think, Brother Hung. He said, Brother Teo, this like and dislike that is manifested in the mind, isn't it caused by sanya? So the question was very straightforward. So to Brother Hung, because immediately after he perceived, the mind react. There is this like and this like, pleasant and unpleasant reaction of mind. So he thinks it is because of perception that caused this. So I answered, I said, no. Sanya is just perception. So you must understand, just like money, a lot of people make the mistake. To them, they think money is the source of all evil. Actually, money itself is neither good or evil. Money itself is just money. Whether that money becomes good or evil depends on what? Depend on what? The user of that money, isn't it? So if the user of money is evil, then money can be used for evil purpose and intent. Then money become evil, understand? But it has nothing to do with the money. It is the user, understand? But if the user of money is wise, wholesome, have goodness, have kindness, very generous, then money become wholesome, understand? It become wholesome is because of the user of money, understand? So money itself, like sanya or perception, is neither good or evil, understand? So that's why the question they ask, isn't it caused by sanya? So the answer is no. Sanya is just perception, just like money, neither good or bad. The moment you perceive, if there is no delusion, then what happens? Then you see things as they are, understand or not? So sanya can know what this thing is via mind's ability to perceive it, understand or not? And if there is wisdom at the moment of perception, it will be just pure sanya or perception. First, I perceive it as a reality. Then what happens? The memory labels it, understand or not? But because there is no delusion, so whatever the memory label, the form and mind understand. That's why it does not become craving. It does not trigger off like and dislike or delusion. Then I explain. The moment the memory labels it, it is just a word. Understand not? Just a word that you create to label. The word brings forth a concept or an idea. So you must understand that it is just a word or a concept or an idea created by thought. But human beings that are deluded and heedless, they never see this, understand or not? Their reaction becomes habitual because of their views and opinion. Then I move on to explain what Ajahn Anand was trying to share that morning at the Vihara. That's why this morning, means on the 2nd March, that Sunday morning, for those that attended the Uttama Bodhi Vihara or Bhaps, Bhaps stands for Buddhist. Bandha Uttama Buddhist Society. Last time was called Bhaps. Then they named that building Uttama Bodhi Vihara. I don't know how many of you went. When Ajahn Anand was delivering the Dhamma sharing, there was one part which was very good. I think he tried to explain this part of the Dhamma, but I don't know how many of you could understand him. There was a question from the floor. How do we develop bhavana or meditation? The way he answered was very beautiful. His answer was more or less the same as what I had shared with you all earlier on. He said, last time before he became a monk, he was also like us, just a lay person. He also started from the monastery. And when he tried to meditate, initially he realized that he cannot really meditate because he can't develop the calm mind, the peaceful mind, the sati and the samadhi. At that time, he cannot understand. Then he realized that his mind thinks a lot and wanders off heedlessly very fast. So he said, meditation is like that. First, you must understand why are you not peaceful. So like what I used to brief you all, you need to inquire, why are you not peaceful? Why can't you meditate? Then you check from the Buddha's teaching, what does the Buddha say? What does the Buddha say? You are not peaceful because of what? Why are you not peaceful? I can't hear. I'll pass the mic to sister. Yes, very good, Monica. We are not peaceful because of the 5 mental hindrances. Because the 5 mental hindrances, like the word hindrance, hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calm, understand not? So that's why the pancha nivaranas, or the mental hindrance, or sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, maybe sleepiness or lethargic mind, followed by restless mind and doubt. These are the 5 hindrances. When you have these hindrances, your mind cannot be peaceful, understand not? Your mind will become heedless. So this is the reason why most human beings cannot develop the meditation, because they can't develop the calm mind to meditate. And the hindrance is born of these 5 mental hindrances that make them react constantly to sense experience until it becomes a habitual tendency. That's why your habitual tendency is very difficult to change. Every moment of consciousness, when you see something, hear something, think of something, or smell, taste, or tactile feel something, there is this habitual tendency to just react and become unhappy. That's why your like and dislike, your pleasant and unpleasant sense experience come from this. But Ajahn Anand didn't explain this part. They are more used to the Thai forest tradition. The Thai forest tradition just tell them, because your mind is not trained, that's why it thinks a lot. It is very heedless, understand? Wanders off very fast. So they say you use buddho, anapanasati, understand? To anchor this mind so that it does not run. So that brings about a condition for me to explain further. Just now, our sister here, I don't know her name, what's your name? Sister Lim, she was very good. I saw her underline all the notes May she really read through them. I think lesson 2 notes. I don't know whether lesson 2 or lesson 3. Lesson 1. Well, lesson 1 I mentioned, no matter what you do in the name of meditation, if it doesn't come back to the four foundations of mindfulness, it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha, you remember? So she was also curious. She come and asked me, if that is the case, what will happen to those Mahayana people who chant the Buddha's name? Means they do wrong meditation. What do you think? It's a good discussion topic. They just chant the Buddha's name, like the Pure Land. They just chant, Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. So what's wrong with that? Oh, Namo Kwan Sing Pusa, Namo Kwan Sing Pusa, Adasana. So what's wrong with that? Is that meditation? To them it's meditation, you know, right? So she cannot understand. So what is your answer? Some of you can try while I have a drink. You try to answer, some of you, so that you understand. What is your understanding? Pass the mic to Monica, very good. Let Monica explain. Just push it up. Push the mic up. Can already.
I think it's the object of meditation.
Yes. Yes, very good. Yes, very good. Thank you. So, like what Monica had explained, it's very good. It's another object of meditation, understand? It's just like one of the skillful means that you use to train your mind. Just like what Ajahn Anand, they all were told. Your mind is not trained. That's why you are not peaceful, understand? So, a lot of people who teach meditation, they never tell you that, understand? They just tell you, you do this. Then you gullibly do. You do without understanding. That's why very difficult to progress. Then some of them will complain, I've been chanting the Buddha's name for so long. How come no response? Nothing. This brings us to a Zen story. You remember last time I shared with you all at a retreat? In China, the olden days. There was an old lady who every time chant the Buddha's name, Amitabha. Chant until very loud, until all the neighborhood also know that chanting is disturbing. Then there was a old man who stayed nearby. He already enlightened. So from the chanting, he knew that this lady is still not mindful. He still don't understand what the chanting is. He just chant because she was told to chant. It's like parroting. You know what is parroting? It's not from the heart. It's not with the faith, not with the understanding. The vibration is very crude. It's just like in school, when you are disciplined by the teacher. You make mistake, he forces you to write. I must not talk in the class. Repeat for 100 times, then submit that shit. You're very angry, you just write. Write means write lah. But you never get the message. So this chanting was the same. So this old man who's already enlightened, he very good. He purposely go and knock at the door. Knock, 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 knock. Knock, 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 knock. Until this old lady got so fed up, he stopped the meditation, then he went to the door. So as he went to the door, the old man went off. Understand? Opened the door. Nobody. She go back, chant again. Then she come again, the old man. No, 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 no. Again, she stop, go and open the door, not there. The third time he go and knock. Then I think this old lady very, very fed up already. Immediately he stopped and rushed to the door, opened. The old man was there. He scolded that old man. What are you trying to do? Do you know this? Very, very bad karma. I'm chanting. I'm meditating. You keep on coming to knock on the door and disturb. The old man just looked at her, smiled. Then she feel funny, you know. Why scold at this old man, yet he smiled? You know what the old man told her or not? Didn't it occur to you? I just come and knock on your door 3 times. You are already so angry. The old lady said, "Bill, you're disturbing me." Likewise, when you chant without understanding, you are actually disturbing the Buddha every moment of your chanting, you know. Then she suddenly got a shocker. Then only she realized she was not mindful when she was chanting. That she was not doing it in accordance with the understanding. He said, "I only knocked 3 times. You already so angry. Do you know your chanting when it's not done with understanding?" Means appropriately with the correct understanding. You keep on rattling day in and day out. You know how many people cannot tolerate your chanting. So finally, according to the Zen story, this is how the enlightened old man teach this lady, old lady. So coming back to the question, is the same. Like Monica said, the chanting is only one of the method or technique to anchor your mind. But the Pure Land type of chanting is more than that, because Pure Land, they have this great faith in the Buddha or the Bodhisattva that they chant because of the great vow that this Amitabha Buddha and the great Bodhisattva develop. Because of their vow, if you chant with understanding, it will develop the strong faith in them. And that faith will connect you to their vow. Understand? And their vow will bring forth the condition for you to progress and develop the spiritual faculty needed for you to develop the meditation. That's why even though you see they only chant, 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 and chant. But what is meditation? Meditation is to understand that you are heedless. You are not peaceful because of the hindrance of mind. Remember, I explained to you all. So these 5 hindrances, you don't go and fight them, understand? You don't go and worry about them. How do you overcome the 5 mental hindrances? What did the Buddha say? You must cultivate one. The 5 opposite mental faculties, understand not? Means you must cultivate the 5 spiritual mental faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. The English translation is the faith or confidence in the Buddha, then the spiritual zeal, followed by the mindfulness, the Samadhi, and the wisdom. If you have this 5, the hindrance ceases by itself, because the 5 spiritual faculties are the one that will overcome the hindrance. Then you can meditate, because when the spiritual faculty is there, because these are spiritual mental faculties, understand? Not hindrance anymore. It supports your meditation. So when you have faith, your mind is very composed and very calm. When there is virya, you are not sleepy, understand? Because that spiritual zeal will drive you. Then when you have sati, you are not heedless anymore. You are mindful. You are aware. Your mind is always with the moment. Understand not? Then when you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. This mind not only in sati, it becomes samadhi. Means collected and unwavering. Then it can see things as they are. That's why it can understand the truth, the reality. Then wisdom can arise. So once this 5 spiritual faculty is cultivated, they automatically can meditate, understand? That's why when they chant and chant and chant until that 4 how, or the Buddha's name, and the awareness become one. Mind and the chanting become one. Understand not? When the mind and the chanting become one, there is no one to chant. Understand not? It's just the awareness of the chanting, of the words, understand not? Of the vibration. Then when sati is developed and you stabilize it, you have sati and samadhi, and you have the faith, the sada and the vira. Then during that time, you become very different. Your spiritual faculty is so stable. Then throughout the day, while you are not chanting the Buddha's name also, you will have that type of mind. Understand? Actually, it will chant by itself inside. You don't chant also sometimes behind the brain here. Because in the early days, 20 over years ago, I come to know about this was because my past, I have also done this chanting before, and I didn't know. Then I got this tape from what they call, I think if I'm not wrong, was from Reverend Mahinda and Sister Sumitra. They got this Guangqing Lao He Sang. The Kai Su Lu, I think, that tape talk about how he become enlightened and how his enlightenment teaching is. So, as they speak, somebody else speak on his behalf, understand? But the beauty is behind the what they call the talk, there is this chanting. Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. So as I listen to that tape, I listen to it many times, then that chanting keep on repeating on the background. Then until one day, I also can follow that chanting. That's why I can chant. Then it like become very clear to me one day. Then all of a sudden, like no one is chanting. Then everything stop. Then you know what happened after that? Somewhere inside my brain at the back here, that chanting automatically come out. And my mindfulness on it was so strong. It just stayed there. Fully aware of the whole thing. That's why I come to know how it can develop the spiritual faculty. And it can become one with it. There is no one to chant. That nature just aware. And that thing just repeat itself. And there's just the awareness of it. It's just like the mind is aware of a phenomenon. Whether it's physical, mental, or nature's phenomenon. In that case, it's mental. So all these are possible. So when you have this spiritual faculty developed, in the midst of daily life, your sati and samadhi will make you very different. You can see your mental intention. You can see your aggregates of mind. You can see your physical flow, your mental flow. That's why after that, you use it to cultivate these four foundations of mindfulness. Then your wisdom keep on arising. Understand not? The four foundations of mindfulness will bring forth the enlightenment. Because finally, the last category of practice of the four foundations of mindfulness is the Four Noble Truths. Understand not? That's why the Four Noble Truths, the last noble truth is the Noble Eightfold Path. So finally, whatever meditation you do, if it leads you back to the four foundations of mindfulness, it will lead you back to the Four Noble Truths. It will lead you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. That is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Otherwise, it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Okay? So if you think chanting alone is the meditation, then you are deceived. Understand? Chanting is just like any technique or method, any skillful means that initially train your mind to have that spiritual faculty to overcome the mental hindrance. Understand not? This is how you can progress in your meditation. So everything you do in the name of meditation, even you go for retreat or whatever, you need to understand why you do all these things. But the problem is most of these people never explain because they themselves also don't know. They also were told, you do this, then they tell you, you do this. Because my teacher say do this, I also do this. Understand? Then I will teach you to do the same thing. But they never investigate into it. That's why they don't understand the purpose and significance. So it brings us back to another situation in Japan. I think this one I have also spoken under the Heart Sutta notes. There was one monastery in Japan last time. The abbot there was very compassionate. So one day there was a stray dog, I think very hungry. So the abbot saw, very pitiful. So he told the assistant, okay, keep this dog. Feed him, take care of him, and keep him around. Then every time, when meditation time, where this dog recover already, become healthy, run around, this dog make a lot of noise, bark, run around, and do all those things. So people come and complain to the abbot, say, can we do something to the dog? Because annoying, disturbing, they don't understand. So they go and complain. So the abbot say, okay. They tell the attendant, every time about time to develop the meditation, you make sure this dog, you tie it up. Understand? So they tie the dog up further away. Then the dog cannot run, didn't make noise. So for years, they have been doing that. Every time before meditation, they tie the dog up. So one day, the old master also passed away already. Understand? Then after that, the dog was very sad. The dog also passed away not long. Understand? Then you know what happened or not? Nobody understand the meaning and purpose and the history behind the dog. So they had a meeting. They said, yes, our tradition, since our teacher's day, he has instructed, every time before meditation, we must tie up the dog. So now no more dog. They go and look for another dog and tie it up. Understand? That shows the delusion. Understand? When you don't understand, you will do that. Yeah, my master says so. Tie the dog up. So no more dog. Go and look for another dog and tie it up. It becomes like that. Understand? Because you accept without understanding. You just follow instruction. You never inquire into it. So meditation has its danger if you just do and follow instruction without understanding. That's why I always said, if you come to my class, I don't want you to follow what I tell you to do. I want you to understand what you do. Then only you can understand what you are doing. Then only you can progress. Understand? Otherwise, you become gullible. Everything also you depend on me, understand? What did Brother Teo say? Brother Teo say, no this, okay, we know this. Brother Teo say, do like that. You quote me, then every time I try to follow what I say, but you don't understand what I say. Why I ask you to do? Then no point, understand? Then when I'm not around, how? Even when I'm around, you go and quote me and argue with people, understand? That is not the purpose and intent, understand? If you don't understand me, you quote me, you create problem not only for you, for others too. Then indirectly, if that person come and look for me, I also get into trouble. Understand? What for? Don't try to be right. Understand? Don't try to promote anything. If they have condition, they will come. And if they have the affinity, they will understand. Then they will benefit. Don't try to convince people. Don't try to force people. Don't try to argue with people. No point. One thing to be right, so what? So that you can glorify your teacher. No point. So that you become like very famous, confident. Oh, my teacher very good, you know. Oh, he teach like that, like that. All these are ego. Forget about it, understand? Like I said, we are Kayana Mitas, Dhamma friends. Technically, I'm not your teacher, understand? I only share my understanding with you. Whatever you can understand, use it. Use it to benefit yourself. Then after you have developed the understanding, you will become a blessing to all. Then help the world, understand? Help those who have condition and affinity with you. Then you become different. So now coming back to the question, it's now very easy, isn't it? So whether it's chanting, breathing, rising and falling or whatever, these are just meditation object, and so on. These are just the various methods and techniques, the skillful means to train your mind, to anchor your mind, to develop the spiritual faculty, mainly sati and sada. The faith is very important, leading to the mindfulness. Then when the spiritual faculty is there, this mind is ready for meditation, understand? That is the purpose of all the method and technique. So method and technique never define the meditation. They serve a purpose to train your mind, to anchor your mind so that you are not heedless, so that the spiritual faculty will be there, so that it can help you overcome all the hindrances. So if you understand it this way, then you confidently do, with understanding that it is to train the mind. Then after you have done it, after your spiritual faculty very stable already, sati, then you can drop the object of meditation, anasana. You can drop the anapanasati, you can drop the rising and fall, you can drop the chanting, then you just silent, anasana. And the silent mind is the meditative mind. When you are silent, you are automatically aware, anasana. So the silent mind is the meditative mind, because there is no thought. So this is the proper understanding that you should develop. Then everything people do, you will understand. Then there is no more right and wrong. As long as you understand what you do, it will still bring you back to the meditation. But if you don't understand what you do, there is where the problem is. You know what happened to this world or not? Most of the Buddhists are trapped in this. When they have very strong faith and confidence in what their method and technique as taught by their teacher, they keep on thinking that as long as I do this training or so-called meditation, I am doing meditation. As long as they note the breathing, in and out breathing, anapanasati, they say they are meditating. Or as long as they are noting the rising falling, they are meditating. As long as they are chanting the Buddha's name, they are meditating. No, you have not gone into the real meditation yet. This is just to train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty, understand? So if you become gullible, then what you do? Throughout your life, every time you meditate, you just go and note that thing. And you know what happened to you. You will never penetrate the Dhamma. You will never have the silent mind. You will never know what the real sati is. But you keep on doing the same thing, repeating in and out for umpteen years and not understanding it. That's why people can go for retreat, become very calm, very peaceful, and have fantastic meditation experience. But out of the retreat, square one, not much change. They may have some knowledge of the Dhamma, impermanence, suffering state, non-self. But character-wise, personality-wise, inwardly, they will realize they haven't changed. Because as they come out into life, society, in the midst of career, interaction with people, they realize they still have fear. They still have selfishness. They still have anger, emotion. They still react to sense experience. They still react to what people say and what people do. There is still this like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant reaction. Why? Because all those meditation doesn't lead to insight, doesn't lead to awakening. So because of that, they will come to know something is still lacking. So when you understand, you will not do that anymore. You will know how to release all the concentration and come out, stabilize the daily mindfulness, then do the satipatthana, and that's the four foundation of mindfulness which we have gone through. After anapanasati, you're supposed to be mindful of the four postures, understand? Standing, you are aware. Sitting, you are aware. Walking, you are aware. Means body and mind is one. Lying down, sleeping, you are aware, understand? Then after you have done the four postures, you should do the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. Means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. And that is the real meditation. That is daily mindfulness. If you do that, your wisdom will arise very fast. You will see things very clearly. You will see your mental inner. After you train your mind in the four foundations of mindfulness, especially Kaya and Upasana, after you have developed your daily mindfulness, you are most of the time aware. Your mindfulness is anchored to your bodily activity, your four posture. And because the four posture and your bodily activity is always in the moment, understand? So you are silent and aware within the moment. That's why you can see anything that arises, like mental intention. Then the reaction of mind, the moment of perception, the moment of activity of mind, and why you stir and how you stir. Everything you will understand. And through that, you will come to know how the mind deceives you, how the mind creates delusion in you, sakkayadity in you, self-delusion, for you to grasp, cling, and hold to all those external form or external phenomena that your mind has created through your thoughts, through your thought that labels them using words. And words divine, understand? Create all the duality, all the division to divide you from others. I will go through the notes, then you understand. Okay, we go on. So we are at the fourth paragraph. Okay, I read this part again, somewhere in the middle. Then he realized that his mind thinks a lot and wanders off heedlessly very fast. So he said, meditation is like that. First, you must know why you are not peaceful. He said, it is because this mind is not trained. So for them, they know that it is not peaceful because they have yet to train. So how they train? They use Buddha, understand or not? Then later on, When he started to train his mind via anapanasati, which they call buddho, breathing in bud, breathing out do, he realized he became more mindful and more peaceful. Then he realized that as he trained further, his mind is sometimes peaceful, sometimes not peaceful. So this was how he started, understand? So in meditation, you all also have gone through, understand? Sometimes good meditation, sometimes not so good. Your good and not good is based on what? Whether you are calm, you are peaceful, or you are not calm and not peaceful. Correct? No? That is where the delusion is again. So if you do that, what happens? You attach to so-called good meditation. Good according to who? Good according to your views and opinion, your conditioning, understand? Where to you, the mind has been heedless for so long, agitated and restless for so long, if suddenly you can train the mind and become more peaceful and more calm, you are very happy, understand? That's why you develop the attachment to it, the clinging to it, the grasping to it. But meditation is not to cling, understand? Not to become unhappy when you cannot get those calm state and peaceful state. And when you can get them, you become very happy, thinking that you have progressed. So if you do that, what happened to you? You are actually slightly better than before, understand? Because you still react, understand? Because you still can have situation where if the meditation is not good, you are unhappy, understand? The meditation turn out to be good, then you're happy. Means what? You are still not peaceful, understand? Your peace is dependent on the meditation, understand? Because you are still conditioned. So for those who understand what is meditation, you have to develop this wisdom through what? Because you see this coming and going. Then the mind follow, understand? The mind, because it's conditioned due to your past. So now you like this. What happened? It creates attachment, understand? Craving. When you cannot get what you want, what happens? Bad meditation. you don't like. This is sadness, anasara, unhappy feeling. But meditation is not like that, isn't it? Meditation is to be at peace and happy. Every moment, every instant, whether good or bad meditation, your mind is still peaceful. That is the purpose of meditation. So you're supposed to be mindful of your mental states, to see how you react to all this. Through what? Through your wrong view, through your attachment again. But now it's a more subtle one, because now it's the peaceful one that you attach to. So when you understand this, you will come to know through your investigation when you silence your mind, that mind has views and opinion. When you have wrong view, you will attach to the good state that you like. When you cannot get that, you become unhappy. So you come to know the origination factor for your unhappiness. Then when you like what you have achieved, the calm and the peace, if you get yourself entangled or attached to it, what happened? What happened? What happened to your mind? You are no longer in sati, anasana. You are now lost in that experience, that good meditation, anasana, that good state. You are enjoying that bliss, anasana, that calmness, that sukha, anasana. That's why sukha is not the enlightenment factor. Sukha is bliss, anasana, very blissful. And you get trapped there, it's not an enlightenment factor. You get trapped very long. Then it makes you miserable. Every time you cannot get that, you become unhappy. And you think meditation is just to be blissful, peaceful. That's where the delusion is. So when you start to see how your mind becomes like that, then you realize everything is like the Buddha said, condition arising. When condition is such, when I can sit very well, when my mind can settle down, when the spiritual faculty are there, these will arise, understand not? Then I get to experience it. I will experience it. I will not reject it, understand? Then I know it for what it is, understand not? Then there is no more attachment, understand not? I can experience it. I'm fully aware of it. Then I see how it come and how it go. Even the best state, the most calm, the most peaceful, the most blissful, it also doesn't last. After a while, it still changes. It will still change and transform. Then even sometimes when condition is not there, when this state gone, then when the mind is no longer like before, then sometimes it come and test you. It triggers of sleepiness. Or it triggers of restlessness for no reason. Do you know even the anagami still have restlessness? You know what is anagami or not? Third stage of sainthood. You already enlightened, but you are not an arahant yet. At the third stage of sainthood, you still got five more fetters to break. To break through, to break free. And one of them is restlessness of mind. Do you know that? The other one is self-conceit, minor conceit. The minor conceit is the ego, the very subtle ego, that thing you are different from others. You already enlightened. That subtle ego is still there. Then attachment to the form jhana, the blissful state, and the formless jhana, they still get trapped, anagami. Then of course the last one is avijja, ignorance. The five factors that bind them to this world, they still have them. So don't think that if your mind state is already like most of the time very peaceful, very calm, and you got no more hindrance, you already progress very well. Not wrong. You are right to a certain extent. But if you attach to that, then you will be trapped. Because when the condition is there, it will be like that. When the condition is to be, all of a sudden, sometimes the test come, it will make you sleepy, or it will make you restless. So what happened? If you don't have the wisdom to accept the reality of the moment, means you are not silent to just be aware of it, then you are affected by it. Understand? Affected by, well, views and opinion of what is good meditation or right meditation. You look forward to those state that you think is right meditation. And when you encounter something that is not like that, you become unhappy, agitated, thinking that you have not progressed, you have failed. That is where the delusion is. Because equanimity is an enlightenment factor. Equanimity is to know and understand that when condition is like that, your mind will be like that. So even if the sloth and torpor arise, the restlessness arise, you will just be aware of it. Silence your mind, just be with it. No like and dislike. Just understand that condition like that, the mind will be like that. You try. Then you will see what happens. Even that sleepiness, sloth and torpor or whatever, all of a sudden it will flash through. Well, when you don't react to it, when you are at peace with it, the awareness will trigger off of a shift of consciousness. All of a sudden, there is a flash of light that went through your mind. Then the virya come, the energy come, the awareness come. All of the spiritual faculty become so strong. Then the sati and samadhi together with the panya will arise. Then you will understand what this thing is. Exactly like what the Buddha said. They are impermanent. They come and they go. If you don't react, you are at peace. Then the spiritual faculty will come back. Otherwise, when you react, means what? Like and dislike. Sensual desire, ill will. Mental hindrance. Understand? That's why it traps you. So this is how you can develop the wisdom through meditation to break free. This part is very important. This part, a lot of meditators get trapped. Understand? Oh, you were trapped there. So, oh, sadhu to you. At least now you understand. Because not only you, a lot of very so-called, inverted comma, advanced meditator also trapped. Because to them, it is very logical, isn't it? This is good meditation. Understand? But what is good? Good according to your views, your craving, your desire. So which means you cannot be at peace. Understand? When it's not like that, you cannot get what you want. Again, you suffer. You become unhappy. So your mind state is still not peaceful. Understand? The equanimity, enlightenment factor is not there. And you cannot be at peace. That's why your mind is still conditioned. Understand? And we go on, then you will understand. I will read on. Then after a while, as he become more determined, Achanan, he said, he trained until his mindfulness become very stable. Then what happened? This is what happened, he mentioned. He realized that this mind, after he had trained, it can become more and more clear, more and more stable, which means sati and mindfulness, sati or mindfulness has become more stable and more clear. Then he managed to enter deeper mind state of sati and samadhi. Means the sati and samadhi become more and more refined, understand? More and more stable. Then what happened? Then he start to see a lot of things. He start to understand a lot of things. That's why sati is very powerful. He started to understand what the Buddha meant. Then he realized that all those things that arise in his mind after he perceived. What happened? The mind immediately label and identify them. But he realized these are not the truth, not the reality. This is something that the mind create and label. Understand? These are words and concepts. So these are what your mind, through your conditioning and memories, label them. That's how it delude you to attach, grasp, and cling when you don't have wisdom. He said, what you perceive, if you don't have delusion, you will not be conned by it, anasara, or deluded by it. Then he understood what the Buddha meant or said. Our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. So this one become very clear to him, anasara. Means your mind is the most important. Like Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, the Buddha start with these two. Mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. And when mind arises, everything comes to be. So mind is the one that creates everything, understand? So when mind arises, everything like become real, understand? So that's why you, for those who understand, for those cultivators who really have the Dhamma, they will see this immediately. That's why for the Mahayana, this very important understanding always stand up. They always repeat this verse, this verse. Yi qie wei xing zao. Your mind create one. Xing zao cheng de. Everything arises from the mind. And it is the same as this Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. So when you understand that, then you realize the mind is the culprit. If you don't train this mind, it will become heedless, it will become deluded, and you will fall. That's why Dhammapada verse 1 exactly talk about that. If you act, speak, and think with a heedless mind, a deluded mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follows the hood. Understand that? Means what? Means you are heedless, you don't train this mind, you couldn't care less about life, understand? You know what is a heedless person or not? So heedless until he don't care. He always think he is right. Whereas if you know the mind is so important, what must you do? You must take care of mind. So how do you take care of mind? You must train this mind. So that's why Dhammapada verse 2 is a complementary verse, the Buddha said. If you understand the importance of this mind, if you train this mind and make it heedful, constantly mindful and aware of the evil roots and all those things. What happened? Dhammapada verse 2, again, repeat. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. Yeah. So, if you act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, with a heedful mind, that does not have the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then happiness will follow you. Like your shadow that never leaves you. Understand? That's how you become peaceful, happy. As opposed to Dhammapada verse 1, if you are heedless, you can't even see your mental intention, how you get entangled, how you become deluded, then suffering will arise. Understand? So this is very important. So without mindfulness, without heedfulness, you cannot understand. So Acharya came to understand that the mind is very important. Yeah. Then you turn to the next page. That's why you can remember in the early days, I always said that the best way to learn Dhamma is to confront life. And do you all remember my advice? That is, whatever happened in life, while confronting any real-life situation, what must you do? Yes, you must not react or get angry. Yeah? For anger means, I think you have printed the wrong page. Ayo. No, this is not the continuation. This one is towards the end one. Ayo, they photostat wrongly already. That one is the third page. That one is the last page, actually. That one is page 4. Wrong already. Never mind. You label it. I tell you what. The first page you put as page 1. The photostat make a mistake already. That's why it's very dangerous. First page is page 1. Second page is page 4. This is the last page. Page 2. Page 3 is page 2. Yeah. Then the last page is page 3. Okay. No wonder suddenly you come to this page. Not right. Okay, you go to page 2, which is on the third page. Those who don't have a pen, you go back, or you borrow from them. Otherwise, you go back, you read, you confuse yourself. So next time, before you let them photostat, Miss Lee, you better check. No, label the page and check. Don't let them just photostat. Otherwise, it becomes very dangerous. Okay, we turn to page 2, which is on your third page. Okay, after the mind is a forerunner of all things, when Achanan realized that, he then realized that all this mind state that he created via the labeling and the concept and the words that he used to label them, they are actually not reality. You got a page? They are what the mind labeled them, and that they are not permanent because they are mind state. They arise and they pass away. Arise and pass away. Then he started to realize that all suffering comes from the mind that labor and grasps through not understanding what these things are. Understand or not? They are just words created by you. So when you deludedly grasp and cling, what happens? You become afflicted. You become miserable. That's why I always tell you all, it's just a word. It's just your thought. How come it has power to make living beings so miserable? Understand not? So full of sorrow and lamentation. So full of sadness. So miserable. Why? It's just a word. It's just your thought. Understand not? Because you allow it to delude you. You deludedly grasp and cling. And what are these words that you label? Take for example, you see your husband, your spouse. You label, my husband, my wife. Then your sister, your parents, your children, your good friend. These are all words created by what? Created by thought. So all these words create what? Delusion. Attachment, division. You are different from them, understand? But because of the word husband, you are legally married, then your loved one, understand? That brings about what? Attachment, clinging, grasping. That's why anything happened to them, you become afflicted. You become afflicted. You worry for them. Then sometimes anything they do make you miserable and unhappy too. Understand? Because your husband, or your wife, your children, if it's not related to you, if you don't label them as that, then what happened? Somebody else's problem. Understand? Nothing to do with yours. So you become peaceful. Understand? Sometimes you can laugh and talk about it some more. Understand? But when it's something that you label and make it like real, belong to you, attachment comes about. Then suffering will follow because you don't understand the truth and the reality. The truth and the reality is all these words and concepts that you create through your thought via the labeling are conventional truth, understand not? Conventional truth is not ultimate truth, understand not? Conventional means what? Accepted by convention, accepted by society. You cannot deny that you are legally married. That's why they are called your husband and wife. And you cannot deny that biologically you give birth to your children. And they are your children. But when you come to ultimate truth, when you really penetrate all this understanding of what this form and mind is all about through meditation, then you understand, he know you, he know me. Understand? The five aggregate of form and mind are conditioned arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling onto and hold onto and say, this is me, this is I. When you cannot own your own form and mind, how can you own others' form and mind? Understand that? All this come about through what? Through your delusion that grabs and cling, through your labeling. That's how you cannot see the universal characteristic that they are impermanent. They come and they go. Each and every form and mind, they have their karma. They are born of their karma, heir to their karma, conditioned and supported by their karma. They are what they are because of their karma. And form and mind is just form and mind. Hey, no you, hey, no me. That's why this form and mind is not me. This so-called reality is not me. Understand that? But karmically conditioned out for me to use, to live life, understand? To understand life, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. To have the condition to do what it wants to do in this world, understand that? And this civilization. So that is the purpose of it. And this is not me, understand that? That's why there will be no delusion. There will be no attachment. It will not be like deludedly grabs, cling, and worry about it getting old, getting sick, and die. Understand that? When you cannot be deluded this way, how can others delude you? Understand that? Through that words and concept that you create. I read through, you will understand. Just like what J. Krishnamurti said, words divide, thoughts divide. They create division via concept and idea born of words, leading to all the attachment, grasping, clinging, conflicts, argument and war. Words like race, religion, nationality, gender, right and wrong, etc. Etc. means like husband, wife, loved ones, your property, your house, your car, your career, your whatever. To divide mankind. So this is what thought is capable of. This is what sanya is capable of. And when you don't have wisdom, you are trapped. So your question is very good. Because to you, the reaction of mind is after you perceive, which is quite correct. Understand that? But it is not the reality. Because perception, when it arises, it depends on the person, the form and mind that arises it. If the form and mind that arises, it is already awakened or enlightened, he will have the wisdom and the wise attention or yoniso manasikara. Then the perception will be just pure perception, non-grasping. And he will not cling and grasp because he knows them for what they are. That is, they are not reality and they arise due to your conditioning through the thought via response to memory that you arise. And then you label them. And when you label, it is just a word. There is no reality because their nature is impermanent. The moment you label, grab, cling, and hold onto them deludedly, suffering will be the result. So these universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, he had already realized. And he knows that it is all condition arising, hence impermanent and empty. That is, he know you, he know me. Understand? No? And everything is just form and mind, just a condition arising phenomenon. Even this physical body and all the external form, like your so-called loved ones, possession, wealth, etc., are only what your thought label them and tell you that they are your children, they are your spouse, they are your loved ones. They are your good friend, but in reality, they are just form and mind labeling another form and mind. So they are just mental consciousness. And mind make are they just a thought? How come they have such power to make living beings so miserable? So this is real delusion, isn't it? Yeah? Clear enough? So this part, hopefully you can understand. It's just your mind, after you perceive, you deludedly label another. It doesn't mean that they are not your husband and your children, understand? They are your husband and children, conventional truth, understand? Means society's truth is like that, understand? within the conditioned world, there is such a thing, and so because it appears so logical, correct or not? Legally married, that's why show your spouse. Biologically give birth, someone not your children, they're whose children, and so on. But when you meditate and you see clearly your own form and mind, then you realize you can't even own your own form and mind, and so on. This doesn't belong to you, and so on. Then where got such thing as husband, wife, and all those things? So ultimate true reality is just a phenomenon, understand not? Condition arising from my mind. And they follow nature's law, understand? Law of karma, understand not? And their form and mind function following the citta niyama, or the law of the mind, dependent origination. And there is this dhamma that you will be able to arise the wisdom. So these three right view will free you from attachment, understand? From deludedly clinging, grasping, holding on, and becoming miserable. Understand not? Means whatever happened, the reality is the reality. Just like death. Dead already. You somehow go and cry and become so sorrowful or what? Or go and blame people for what? Understand not? A lot of things, when you don't have the wisdom and the understanding, the thought will project, understand not? Then it leads to a lot of sadness, a lot of sorrow, and a lot of lamentation, understand not? Because there is this attachment, especially your loved ones, understand not? Or your good friend, or your brothers and your sister, or your parents. And to living beings, these are so real, understand not? This type of relationship is so real, understand not? So when you cannot develop the ultimate truth, wisdom, to see clearly, suffering will arise, you will be afflicted. That's why the Buddha talked about the first noble truth. There is a noble truth of suffering, dukkha. And this is a noble truth, is it? When you confront these eight realities of life and existence, when you have yet to develop the understanding and the wisdom, he said, suffering will arise, sorrow and lamentation will arise. You can become afflicted. This is a noble truth, understand not? So that's why if you don't meditate, if you don't develop this understanding and wisdom fast, it is very difficult to have this understanding to liberate your mind so that you will not be afflicted while living in this world. You like it or not, the Buddha said, as long as you live long enough, you will confront this eight reality. You have already confronted birth, your own birth. But later on, you will see birth of your loved one, understand not? And you can also be afflicted if some complication arise, understand not? Then as you go through old age, sickness, and death, if you don't understand what these are, you will also become afflicted. Not only you, your loved ones too. Then when there is separation from your loved one and your possession, you will be equally afflicted. And the next one is when you are with people whom you don't like. And when you cannot get what you want, your expectations are not met. So in short, the Buddha said, when you deludedly, through your own mental perception, wrong perception and labeling, grasp and cling on to this fine aggregate of form and mind, which you constantly arise throughout the day, suffering is the result. Every day you arise perception in it. That's why this wrong perception delude you, understand? You perceive them as your loved one, your spouse, your good friend, and all those things. Even some who attach to their own race, their religion, their own countrymen, nationality, and all those things. So all this can lead to suffering. So the important fact that you need to understand is this noble truth, the Four Noble Truths, can give rise to wisdom that can liberate you. So first you must understand what is dukkha. Then you must understand the cause behind its arising. It arises through delusion, self-delusion, because you don't meditate to realize the wisdom. And you deludedly grasp and cling on to this so-called five aggregate of form and mind. You cling on to what you perceive, what you feel, what you think, your views and your opinion, and what you become conscious of. And you cling on to all the external form and internal form. That's how you become afflicted. So when you know the cause behind suffering, you must determine to develop the wisdom, to cultivate the meditation leading to the wisdom to liberate your mind. Otherwise, you cannot free. You will be entangled. So with that, you will know the importance of meditation, the importance of cultivating your mind, the importance of training this mind to develop the heedfulness so that it can see clearly, so that it can insight into the characteristics of all phenomena, so that it can liberate the mind, free from all the self-delusion, so that it will not attach anymore, so that it will not be afflicted anymore. Okay? So the first question we finish, huh? So question two, huh? So Brother Hung asked again, huh? So Brother Teo, can I ask one more question? Huh? Then I said, yes, you can. So this sanya, when it occur, does the labeling also occur at the same time? Huh? So he asked the same question actually, but he wants to make clear. Then I answer, I was just about to explain the last part of your question regarding the reaction of mind, your like and dislike. Let me ask you a very simple question, and you will answer your own question. Why did you react? How come certain things you see and hear you don't like, but certain things you see, you hear, you like? So the answer was pretty good. Is it relative? My understanding is, normally we react to this because of our old understanding, yeah? And old memory and habits, understand? So when you do that, you will react, understand? You turn to the next page. Then I answer, yes, due to your condition leading to the habitual tendency, understand? Which means what? Your views and your opinion condition you to say this is nice and this is not nice. Like when you eat something, let's say since young you like sweet things, then you eat something sweet and you say, this is nice, I like it. You say I like it because you have been conditioned. But let's say you come from another culture who doesn't like sweet things. Maybe they like, say, sour or very bitter things. So they grew up in that type of environment and culture. And when they taste something bitter or sour, to you, it is not nice and terrible. But to that person, he will say, this is nice because of his conditioning. Understand? So all this like and dislike, nice and not nice, pleasant and unpleasant, are very clearly relative in nature. They depend on the person's conditioning and their views and opinion. Hence, it is not an absolute truth or reality. An absolute truth or reality means it is a truth that everybody will understand and accept because it explains the way things are. But because they are not absolute reality or truth, these are conventional truths that are subjective. Subjective means it is subject to the different people's opinion and views, and that they are very relative in nature, relative to something they compare. And then they say, this is nice, this is not nice. So if you don't have wrong view, and you don't have the conditioning or the avidya or the ignorance, what happens when you see or hear something? Yeah? What happens? So he answered, it is just pure perception, non-delusion. We are just seeing things as they are. This is very good. Yeah, but not only that, you will have the wisdom to enable you to accept the reality of the moment. And that's the reason why you don't react anymore. Your wisdom will bring about this understanding. that angry people will say angry things. And they may scold you and abuse you. But you will not react because you can accept them for what they are. So there will be no more labeling of what this guy is saying via your wrong view and opinion of him. Understand not? Otherwise you will say what? How can this guy scold me like that? And abuse me and say all those hurtful words. Which means what? You had reacted. And why did you react? Because of your wrong view. And you wanted to be right. You have an ego. You think you are real. You think what has been spoken by him was wrong. But right and wrong is relative. And they are based on your views and your opinion that you had developed or accumulated via your conditioning, through your education, through whatever you have gone through in life. So if that is the case, you will never understand, and because of that you will react to what he says. But if you have developed the wisdom already, you will come to realize that all this comes from your wrong thought and wrong view, born of your own delusion. If I don't have wrong view and delusion, I will be able to see things as they are. Which means I will see him not as an angry person abusing and scolding me. Understand? I will see him as what he is. Because he has anger, he has delusion. And such a person will react and do this type of thing. Mainly because anger is an evil root. So to me, he is just the way he is. So when I see things as they are, I see him as he is, then there is no more discrimination. Understand? Then there will be no one to say he is wrong, he is deluded, he is stupid, and he is what and what. No more, because you don't label him anymore. For you can accept him for what he is. And when you do that, your mind is at peace, isn't it? Because your acceptance will free you, and you will not react foolishly anymore. Yeah. Then you turn to the second page, which is the last page. Huh? That's why, if you can remember, in the early day, I always said the best way to learn Dhamma is to confront life. And do you all remember my advice? Huh? This one you have to remember. Huh? That is, whatever happened in life, while confronting any real life situation, what must you do? The first two things. Do not get angry and do not react. You must not react and get angry. Anger means what? You are reacting with unhappiness. Hence, the evil root and the delusion. Your like and dislike. Your view and opinion of things. Thing is just the way it is. No right, no wrong. Why do you want to react? Why do you want to get angry? Accident happen means happen already. Die means die already. Accept that reality. Why you want to blame and get angry with people? Why you want to become emotional? Why you want to grieve over it? Like the Buddha said, during certain life, while he was a bodhisattva, when his own son or children passed away, you know what he said? He just never cry. He just tell people, whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. What has arisen has already ceased. So no amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. So you grieve for what? You get angry for what? Because of your delusion. Where you want that dead person to become alive again. Your loved one must not die. Other people can die. Understand? This world is not like that. Understand? This world is the truth and the reality. The very ugly truth is what? Everybody must die. That's why I received this very good email. Somebody wrote, I think you all have heard before. The email says something like that. Isn't it? He said, life and death. Understand? He assumed these are two persons. Then death very angry, you know. Death complained to life. Why everybody love me and love you and hate me? We are everybody like life, you know, good life, happy life, huh? But when they talk about death, everybody change. Go on, huh? So nobody like death, understand not? So you know what life replied. There is a lot of dhamma inside there. Life said, I'm a good liar, understand? I give hope, understand? Huh? You still have good life ahead of you, understand? Understand? Your life, you can live, understand? Life is beautiful, understand? That's why life really give you hope and can lie to you, understand? But there, you are a very ugly truth, understand? Everybody must die. That's why nobody want to talk about you, understand? So, living being that is deluded, they always react like that because they try to avoid what they don't like, understand? What they don't understand. Whereas the Buddha teach the opposite. He said we must contemplate and develop the meditation on death, understand? That's why he teach marana nusati, understand? Marana nusati is contemplation on death. When you constantly contemplate on death, understand this reality, what will happen to you? It will give you the urgency to live life and to cultivate, isn't it? Because life is a certainty. It's a reality and it can happen any time. Don't always go and think, okay, one la, when I retire, I meditate la, I still got time, understand? Or wait till I financially free already, only I stop working la, understand? Then I travel around the world, I enjoy all the if. Then you know in life many things happen, understand? Accident happen, tsunami happen, earthquake happen, war happen, even premature death happen. Like recently our MH370 just lost from the radar, just like that. And chances is very slim, understand? Something must have happened. It's very easy to conclude, understand? Yeah, nowadays, everybody who travel on this international flight, they got handphone on, very changi. If they don't land or anything happen, they on their handphone, you will know where they are already, understand? GPS, straight away they can locate already. But how come no chance to on handphone? No? Means something drastic happened. Yeah. And it's just like the whole plane missing, signal all gone. Then just now I heard the Air Force head, his radar detected. They make a turn back, trying to land back in KLIA. But there was no radio contact, nothing, no distress signal, nothing. So this is what they are working on, and they cannot understand. Then they realized two of them who went on the plane was not the actual people. They got stolen passport or what they call fake passport. So nobody know what is happening. So there's a lot of speculation. You see, you can have compassion. You can pray for them. But this is the reality. If it happens, means it happened. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back whatever that has happened. But even with whatever little hope or chance, the related family members, they really, really need that hope. So you cannot cut them off, understand? You still need to maintain that there is no black and white as yet. We still hope for something. Although for those who understand, they know the chance is very, very slim, understand? Something must have happened very drastic. So life is very short, that's why. Life is uncertain, death is certain. So if you understand this reality, what must you do? You don't wait till last minute, understand? beg or time to get angry with your loved one, understand or not? While you have your little time, do what you want to do, understand or not? If you want to talk to your mom, your parent, your good friend, your daughter, your children, better say it now, understand or not? Why you want to get angry and unhappy with them? Understand or not? Then later on, regret, remorse, understand or not? This moment they are around, next moment they are not around. Or this moment you are around, next moment you are not around. Because this form of mind is very fragile, very vulnerable. It can switch off very fast. So live while you can live. Understand? Do the thing you want to do before it's too late. Understand? Then don't go and remorse over it. Because this is reality, form of mind, form of mind. Whatever that this form of mind can do, can make people happy, more peaceful, more loving, you should express them, understand? You can help. You can do whatever act of charity and goodness to bring about a better life to other people. You should do, while you still have the condition to do, understand? So, don't be so foolish as constantly wasting your life through what? Worrying about life, complaining about life, get angry with life, understand? All the petty thing, hate him, do all this. What for? Arguing, trying to be right, and all this foolish thing, understand? This is what your thought tell you, your thought labor for you, to deludedly and gullibly cling, grasp. In reality, everything is just the way it is. Know this, know that. They are just the way they are. But there is such thing as life, understand? There's a use this form of mind, find every human being. Use it while it's still around, while it can still support and last. Just like my teacher always tell me, remember this story? He said, if your body can talk to you, you listen. He said, your body will say, harm me not. O master, where he call you the master. Yes, he is your servant that serve you. O master, harm me not. For I am just tissue and blood. Understand not? Have me work for you. To help you in whatever way you want. Before I am too old, too weak and too fragile. Understand? If your body can talk, it will talk to you this way. Then why you still want to harm this body and hurt this body through all the wrong thought, through all the anger, the emotion, all the delusion, all the fear, all the worry, all the anxiety? You put so much negative energy into this body. Whereas this body is condition arising here to serve you, understand? To give rise to condition for you to leave. So that this consciousness that is trapped inside can arise. All of the 6 type of mental consciousness. So that you can perceive the world, see the world, understand? Hear from the world. That's why there is such thing as you can see the color, light and sound. All of the beauty of this civilization. The sight that you can see, the sound that you can hear, they are so beautiful, understand? So the world of sight and sound can be so beautiful. And the world of what they call good food, delicious food, you can taste them. And nowadays you can have the means, you can have the comfort of life, understand? You can have aircon, you can have nice bath, you can have all the good things that can make you feel good, tactilely feel good. Even when you go to a cold country, you can have all the warm clothing. Then not only that, you can read books that can make you uplifting, feel good. You can watch So the movie and TV that brings about happiness and joy and understanding, then the world is like very small nowadays. All the news, if you want, you can listen to. Information technology travel very fast. Then all the IT, internet, and all the so-called electronic media, they can connect the world. You can connect anybody in this world very fast, very efficiently too. So all the smartphone, all the computers, they have this capability. So while you have this beautiful civilization and condition to live, don't go and worry about life anymore, understand? Don't become so deluded and foolish to constantly react to all this petty happening and become so emotionally trapped, understand? Suffer so much for what? Just because your thought tell you, my loved one, why he like that? My children, why he like that? Or my good friend, how can they do that to me? So all this is foolishness, delusion. Okay, we go on to the last question. So Brother Teo, then I stop him. I say, wait, Brother Hang. I will finish this off first, then you can explain or ask me further question. You see, the most important thing to remember is not to react and do not get angry under all circumstances. Can do that, from this moment onward. Don't react, don't get angry. You can do that one day until you realize you cannot get angry anymore. You already anagami, third stage of sainthood. Even second stage of sainthood, the anger and the emotion are just attenuated. It's not liberated yet. The first stage of sainthood still got anger, still got sensual desire. It's only at the third stage of sainthood, both these two factors are actually severed. So if you can do that, I sadhu you. Okay. Develop the understanding and patience to see things as they are, and then reflect and contemplate. Why did my mind stir? The moment you get unhappy and angry, means your mind already stirred, reacted. Which means what? I still have wrong view. I still have delusion. I still have attachment to what my mind tell me, what my thought tell me. Through what? Through the labeling. Through my conditioning, through my wrong view. So this you must reflect and contemplate until very, very clear, until you can reverse all your wrong view, understand now? That is not able to understand the reality of the moment. Reality means what? What has already happened, understand now? Like just now I tell you, date means date already, understand now? Accident means accident already, understand now? If that priceless thing broken means broken already, understand now? Get angry and react, no point. You can learn from it, then well and good. But getting angry, blaming, and trying to let go of your emotion on others is delusion. The reality of the moment is, just like truth is, understand? Is means what? The isness of things. Suchness of things, understand? So truth is. Truth cannot be monopolized, understand? Not your truth and my truth. Truth is a reality, understand? Truth is whatever that explains the way things are. That is the truth, understand? Like dead already. Dead means dead already, understand? That is the truth. Even though it's the ugly truth, understand? Unhappy truth. But if you don't come to terms with that reality and that truth, you are going to suffer and become miserable because not able to get what you want because you are angry and you react to that ugly truth because you cannot accept that reality. You want things your way. You want it to be otherwise. And that is the reality. So the reality of the moment is means if conditions are like that, they will do things like that, for they are just the way they are. So if I have that type of understanding, I will always be at peace, because I can accept. But not through a delusion that tries to accept anasana. Ah, this is another delusion. And this one, a lot of people are not aware. Eh? When you try to accept, means what? We are trying not to get angry, anasana. If we are delusion and you try to accept, then it becomes suppression. You will say, I don't want to be angry because he is like that one lah. Anasana. Actually, you're still angry with him, anasana. That is not wisdom. That is reacting to him. Then you may also say, I don't want to get angry anymore. No point lah to this type of people. The way you answer it, also you also still can sense the anger. Then, why you want to get angry means what? Means you still got anger. Instead, sorry, you still got anger inside your heart. But you are not mindful of it, anasana, because you don't develop the mindfulness and the heedfulness. So when you are not mindful of it, then you can get caught in this type of situation. And you keep on saying you don't want to get angry. And that is suppression. That means you don't really accept him for what he is. You don't have the wisdom to see him as he is. The one who has the wisdom will have compassion. If it's not because of delusion, he won't be like that. So you will have love and compassion instead of anger and aversion or dislike towards that person. Then you can accept him for what he is. Then you can radiate love and metta towards him and say, forgive him, for he knows not what he is doing. Silently within, so that you will not trigger off any more misunderstanding or enmity towards him. Then you will have goodness of heart. Then you will act with understanding. After you had accepted him for what he is, then you can act. You still act, but you act with noble effort power. There is no negativity. Then life will become different. Otherwise, you will be like most living beings, always heedless and reacting, getting angry and becoming violent. Then trying to argue, trying to go into conflict and doing all those very negative things. Just want to be right or to prove your point. Since anger is an evil root, it is the root of all evil. It will make you violent. It will make you evil. It will make you selfish. So that is the reason why this evil root needs to be understood. And this is very important. This part is very important. Always remember, upon contact, consciousness come to be. Then immediately the mind, through the aggregate of perception or sanya, perceive. But when you perceive something, you label it immediately. Understand? And because you have ignorance and delusion, that labeling will be conditioned by your wrong views to react. That's how like and dislike comes to be. After that, you can ask further questions. Then Brother Heng say, I think you have just explained what I want to know. That's why I know this was the last page. So we finish the short notes. Okay, you got any more questions? Before we proceed with the 5:05 already. So fast. Oh, we almost spent 2 hours. Okay, you got any question or not? Anybody got any further question? Then what about the first training that we went through last week? Anapanasatipat. Can you understand? You got any question? Huh? If don't have, then we'll continue. Huh? Okay. We finish Anapanasati actually. Huh? So today maybe if you want to do, you'll do the four posture. Huh? You turn to page 35. Huh? Page 35. The mode of deportation. Huh? And further, O Bhikkhu, when he is going, a Bhikkhu understand, I'm going. Right? When he is standing, he understand, I'm standing. When he is sitting, he understand, I'm sitting. When he is lying down, he understand, I'm lying down. Right? Or just as his body is disposed, so he understand it. Means whatever posture you are in, you must be aware. Here, understand means aware. Yeah. You get the mic, you get the mic. The body and the mind as one, understand? It's just aware, understand? Aware means what? You just aware, understand? No need to labor, no need to develop anything. The mind with the body just aware, understand? Then as you stand up, of course the whole process when you are mindful, you can see how you body and mind move until you are in the standing posture. But initially the Buddha knew you are just learning to be aware. So if you can be aware of the four posture, already very good start, understand? Means the intermittent or in between type of action and movement, the Buddha don't expect you to be aware yet, understand? But you cannot be aware so fast. So you remember your four posture, the four posture. Means while walking, aware, understand? Sitting, aware, standing, aware, lying down, aware. So initially just do this four. Don't try to know anything. Don't try to refer to the Dhamma. Or is this what the Buddha meant? Is this what insight is or whatever? Forget about that. Just silence your mind and just maintain awareness. You know why? When you are aware means what? When you are aware means what? You don't think anymore. Understand? I already said, the moment you are silent, you are aware, understand? Aware of what? Up to you, understand? Aware of my sitting posture. Aware of my standing posture, understand? The moment I am silent and silent, just aware. Aware of what? You can be aware of anything, understand? So awareness is just that pure perception. But for normal human being, you cannot do that, understand? The labeling will come, understand? The reaction will come. Well, your habitual tendency is still there, understand? But you learn how to be aware and silent, understand? Just like the mind sweeping method. You feel, don't think, just feel aware. Any tension, any tightness, any stress within, relax it. That's why you continue to feel and relax, it will decondition your heedless thinking, understand? So likewise, when you are aware of the four posture, it will decondition your heedless thinking. Understand? Every moment you are aware of your posture, you cannot think. Understand? Understand? This is to stop you from your heedless thinking. Understand? Then after that, you can extend this over to the other connecting movement. And then throughout the day, you don't think anymore. Understand? And this is what I mean by heedful living. Understand? From heedless way of living, you slowly train your mind until you become heedful throughout the day, most of the time. That's why daily mindfulness can make you like that. Understand? Then when you don't think, you are always peaceful. You are always very calm, very aware, very at ease, very natural. And your body and mind always move as one. Understand? There is no more like before. Constantly lost in thought, constantly heedless, thinking of this, thinking of that, reacting to this, reacting to that. And I can tell you, throughout the day, most human beings, 99.999%, they are very heedless. They are hardly aware. They think a lot. While sitting down also think a lot. Sleeping also think a lot. That's why they dream. That's how they have nightmare and all those things. Your brain there, the activity, thought is respond to memory, keep on arising. Because you attach and hold on to so many things in your life without you knowing it. I give you a very simple example, you know. Those who watch TV or see a lot of film show or cinema show or all the what on the computer, you chase all the all the series on it, you will know. After you see already, even when you walk around or what, when you go supermarket or driving, that thought still coming, that role play, that actor, that actress, the thought still there, and you find it so difficult to do away. Then after that, when you do something, that thought wouldn't come. But the moment you finish, as you walk, that thought come again. If you got problem, then the problem thought come. Will you worry about those things? Then this one, you got attachment. You got so attracted to the show. Then your brain like hypersensitive. Yeah, you like that show. You have been chasing that show. Then you also become the commentator. Yeah, that guy, why is he like that? He shouldn't do like that. Because you got preference. You say, actually this actor, this actress very like suffer a lot. You pity them. Then you say that bad guy, how can it? But this are film show, acting for you to see. You become emotional over it. But sometimes they try to teach you something. And like I explained to some of the Kayanamita and even to my wife as they see the show, I say, do you see or not? All those show that they show, all the suffering, the anger, the hatred, the backbiting and the fighting and all that, especially the Korean show, all come from what? The ego, understand? Me, I, you, like the father, then the children. All the children will be fighting among themselves, understand? Then they got, of course, the enemy or the competitor. So they have a lot of this. All is due to what? The ego, understand? And you can see them. These are evil roots that condition them to become like that. And most of the time it's through selfishness, understand? Because of selfishness, understand? They are very selfish. They try to like plan and plot for their children. That's why Koreans show a lot, to protect their children and all those things. Sometimes they just do very severe things. Try not to allow that girl or whoever that the son like, to have any chance of coming together, because they feel their status is like not compatible and all those things. Then they plan, they scheme, and they do a lot of funny things. Then later on, remorse, of course, and all those things. So this is part and parcel of society. So this show actually try to show something. There is a moral behind. But if you have Dhamma, you see, actually everywhere is like that. Sakayaditi, wrong view, the ego, that cling onto the entity. Then the labeling by the thought created all this division, created all this evil root of selfishness, emotional negativity and fear. And that's how life become what it is. That's how society become what it is. That's how war, conflict, misunderstanding comes to be. That's how emotion come to be. That's how the mind get entangled. So this is what you will come to understand. So now the intent of this four foundation of mindfulness, you know. Kaya Nupasana means develop mindfulness on the form, the kaya. Anasana. So the four posture is one of the form. Anasana. One of the posture of your kaya. Anapanasati also part of your kaya. Anasana. Part of your physical body. So that's why you can use the object of meditation, even rising, falling, whatever. It's up to you. But the Buddha recommended anapanasati because breathing is the easiest to train, very neutral, and always within the moment. And it's very easy to do. You know why very easy to do? Because in the past, these people don't have proper transportation. So they walk a lot. Do you know that? And because they walk a lot, they exercise a lot. That's why their breathing become regulated. Then they do anapanasati very easy. That's why it's very easy to develop anapanasati. That's why you have to have some form of activity. Exercise is good. Whatever that can bring about breathing, that makes the breathing goes on its own. Then after that you sit, you realize your anapanasati come very fast. You can meditate very well. Then you sleep very well. Okay? So you want to try or not? You can use this place to develop your four posture. For those who want to sit, you can sit. Then you can walk around. Then you can turn. Maybe sit down, then stand up, then walk, then lie down. You can do whatever. The four posture. As you go to the toilet, you can also raise from your sitting, standing, then you walk. Then when you do your nature's call, man stand, woman sit. It's up to you. Sometimes men also can sit and do it. It's up to you. So as long as you are aware when your posture has changed, so that is the beginning of awareness, beginning of mindfulness. Just body and mind as one, silent. The moment you are silent, you already aware. Don't try to be aware. Trying is the thought. The thought actively want to know whether I am walking, I am standing, I am sitting. Forget about the thought. Just silent, feel, aware. Like you feel your forehead, you feel your entire body. Close your eyes, feel. Then when you walk also, forget about any perception. Just body and mind as one. Silent and just walk. Then later on, any movement, any activity, the body and mind as one. Then your sati will develop. The more moment of silence you have, the more mindful you become. Then you should start from your daily routine at home. When you are alone, everything you do, develop mindfulness. Even before you sleep, when you mindfully brush your teeth and all those things, then after that, how you sat before the Buddha image, how you do your puja, then how you meditate for a while, everything develop awareness and just silent. Forget about your problem. Tomorrow only attend. You do that every day, you will become very mindful. Then as you go up, you arise from your sitting, then how you walk and move to your bed, then how you lie down, then how you put the blanket, then how you in your sleeping posture, how you aware, then how your mind just naturally allow the breathing and anapanasati to go on, and then how you sleep and how you doze off. Later on, you can also be aware during your sleeping moment. You can just anchor your awareness to anywhere. If you are already skillful, you can anchor to your breathing or to your heart, to your chest, or any part of your body. You can detect any vibration or heartbeat or what. You just stay there silent. Then continue to be silent. And then you see what happens. Then you see how thought come to be, how consciousness come to be, how it tickle you. Sometimes itchiness, then sometimes the vibration, the sound. How the consciousness take over. Then how your mind went there. Then how, when this one ceases to be, how it come back to your object of meditation or to any part of your body. This is what meditation is all about, awareness. Just aware of how this mind, the five aggregate of form and mouth, how they arise, how they cease. And how when there is no arising, there is silence. Then the natural state is silent. So this is what meditation is all about. You silence your mind just to develop awareness, more and more moment of awareness, less and less thought. Actually, the more mindful you are, the less thought you have. That is the sign of progress. When you hardly think, you already progress very well. Those who think a lot and talk a lot, they are far from the meditation, I tell you. That's why you go to retreat. Try not to talk. Maintain noble silence. This including no more mental chattering inside. The silent chattering. Even that one also must be silent. Then that is noble silence. Otherwise, if you just don't talk, means verbally you don't talk, but the chattering inside still very, very active. Means you still need to train. You still need to let the mind be what it is. Understand? You know how to let the mind be or not? You know how or not? Just let your mind be. Be means what? Let it do what it want to do. Don't try to interfere. Don't try to like control or suppress. Just let it be. Understand? Means don't react, don't do anything. And then see what happens. Especially when you lie down and sleep. Assume your body and mind not connected, dead. You try, dead. Means what? Even when there is itchiness or what, it conditions you to want to scratch, don't do it. You just tell the mind, I decide, not you. But the thought always decide for you. The thought will say, itchy, scratch. Or then your hand go. Sometimes heedlessly you just do, habitual. Then scratch until bruise also, you don't know. That's not, whoa, when did I scratch until like that? Because itchy, and so you keep on scratching. Then sometimes certain parts have numbness or pain when you sit and all that. So assume that the body and mind are not connected. Whatever it conditions you to do, you tell the mind, not now. I decide when I want to do. Like the bladder call, want to go to the toilet, you decide. Then you just silent. Then when you want to go, then only you aware. Aware of the posture, then aware of how you come out, how you turn, how you stand, how you walk, how your hand go to the doorknob, how you push open the toilet door, then how you go in, how you turn, how you sit, how you answer nature's call. Everything just aware. Don't try to know anything. Just maintain awareness. Continue to do. Day in and day out. I tell you, very fast, you will become aware. And all of a sudden, one day when you understand what awareness is, because your mind starts to be with the body continuously, no thought. And then one day you will see. So beautiful. Awareness is so beautiful, so light, so natural, so simple. Understand? No need to do anything, just silent. And then after that, when you sit, very easy to sit on. Your meditation progress very fast on. Then no thought. Then even thought come, you can just let things be, allow it to be. Then this mind, the activity, after a while, it will dissipate and like silent. And then you start to experience your true mind, your true nature. Then you start to understand how from there, your senses together with the contact create consciousness. And how upon consciousness, thought come to be. Then how within the content, all your perception, activity of mind, sankara, sanya, feeling all arise. Then how you stir through your wrong view. That's why you see everything inside your own form and mind, within your own meditation. And this is real meditation. Not only in the form of lying posture, sitting posture, walking posture, in the midst of life, you can see them. You can understand them. That's how wisdom come to be. That's how understanding come to be. Not what you think. Understand? Meditation is not like what you used to think. Like something very mysterious. Like something very special. Or you think, oh, suddenly enlightened means what else? No. Meditation, the real one, is a very simple one. But very difficult to do. Simple, that's why difficult to do. Simple means what? Simple means to the extent the mind is very simple. What is simple mind? What is simple mind? A simple mind is not the one that chat a lot, think a lot, worry a lot. That one is very complicated mind. Full of worry, anxiety, cunningness, selfishness. That mind is not simple. The simple mind is very simple. Whatever happened, it can just accept the reality. It's a very simple person. The mind is very simple. Not cunning. Not selfish. Not mysterious. Don't have any fear, worry, anxiety. It's very simple. It just listen to instruction. You tell the mind silent, it's just silent. But that simple mind cannot arise when the hindrance is there. That's why you need to train the spiritual faculty. For most people, you need to train the spiritual faculty so that it can overcome the hindrance. And then the mind becomes very simple. When you have sadha, virya, and sati, you become full of patience, very calm, very composed, very simple. You don't react anymore. Most of the time, you're just aware, silent, mindful, with a lot of metta, a lot of love, a lot of compassion. Can follow that? Okay, now you do your own meditation. Oh, 5:30. You do for 10 or 15 minutes. Then maybe after that, we just summarize the whole thing. This four posture is very simple. Maybe I read through this four posture. Thus he lived contemplating the body in the body, internally, and he lived contemplating the body in the body externally, and he lived contemplating the body in the body internally and externally. He lived contemplating origination factors in the body, and he lived contemplating dissolution factor in the body. And he lived contemplating origination and dissolution factor in the body. Or indeed, his mindfulness is established with the understanding that this body exists to the extent necessary just for understanding and remembrance. And he lives independent and cling to not in the world. Thus also, O bhikkhu, a bhikkhu lives contemplating the body in the body. So this one is the summary part. So the main thing is the four posture. You just maintain silent mind and awareness. You need to walk, you walk a bit. Okay. Okay. We have about 15 minutes now, because this session is not on sitting, asana. It's more for you to cultivate the understanding of the four posture. So this four posture, throughout the day, you will encounter them. So you need to determine to be mindful of them. Initially, I can tell you it's not easy. I remember during the early day when I started, very difficult initially. Most of the time, you realize you are never mindful. Even the four posture is not easy to do. Then later on, just like Achanan said, you determine. You have to determine that this is what you want. Otherwise, you cannot progress. Otherwise, your daily mindfulness cannot come about. Then when you determine, you can do it. Actually, you can combine both. The four postures straight away from there go into what they call daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. You have to understand the four types of clear comprehension. Then do it. So as you do, initially, your daily mindfulness will be like very clumsy, very difficult. But at least you have the consolation. As long as you can remember the four posture, that is good enough. Then after that, try to connect the in-between activity. Then you need to determine and do it. Means constantly aware, ever mindful, determined to be mindful. Every time the mindfulness go off, like anapanasati, you bring it back. Bring it back to the four posture. Then determine to remain aware, silent. The moment you are silent, you are not thinking, means you are aware already. Everything you do. Start with the simple activity. Like when you are at home. You are not talking to anybody. You are at home, alone doing your thing. Start with your daily routine. Like when you go to sleep, like I explained just now. Then, while you are in the toilet, while you are taking your bath, then when you wake up, first instant is aware. Maintain awareness that you are in the bed, lying down posture. Then find out for yourself, what is the stimulant that stimulate you to wake up, and how you move from the bed. How your body come up, how your awareness, whether you can follow or not. Then how you turn, how you sit on the bed, then how you come out from the bed. Then how your movement come about, how you can become aware of it. Then as you enter toilet, answer nature's call, how you actually clean yourself, come out, then after that, brush your teeth, then do whatever activity. For ladies, maybe you got to do some facial or what you do. Then after that, you prepare yourself for the day. Then you can have your morning routine, your puja, your meditation. It's very good to do early morning and before you sleep. Then in between, whenever you are free. Then throughout the day, maintain the four posture and daily mindfulness. This will be enough for you. If you can stabilize all this, you will become very good. Your meditation will improve very fast. You see, when your daily mindfulness improve, your sitting, no problem at all. Very easy to sit, I tell you. You must have the daily mindfulness. Once your daily mindfulness is developed, sitting is no problem at all. It becomes very simple. You settle down very fast. You become silent very fast. If in the daily life you can become peaceful, in the form of meditation, very fast. No need to train. Straight away you go, sit down, you just let the mind be. It settles down very fast. Then you're just silent. Okay, you got any question or not? Yes. Yeah. Pass the mic to Sochu. How come so much noise on bass? No, speak direct into the mic. I can't hear you. we call a lot of vibration. Yeah, through the mind direct. Nearer. I can't hear, I don't know, the vibration. You can speak louder. I can't hear you. The mass, MH370. Why you want to explain how the flight vanished? Who are all these people, the related one? Why you want to know about that? Because they will go through the reality that happened there. You cannot, because karmic is like that, reality is like that. You saw the TV interview on that lady? That 2% didn't go, no? From Malaysia. And you know what happened or not? That lady was having a live interview, you know, with I don't know who. They interview her, you know, how come you are not on board? He said he and a Beijing friend who came and visited them, and they're supposed to return together. I think they were students or don't know what. Then this colleague of her, he felt something very uneasy, you know. He refused to go on the flight, you know. He said the heart inside tell him, change flight. He don't want to fly. I don't know whether it's a he or a she. The colleague don't want to fly. The colleague feels something not right. Ask her to change the flight. Then normally she said, if she has bought a ticket like Air Asia, cannot change flight, she will still fly on. She don't want to waste the ticket. But in this case, because it was a mass ticket, and I said, can change flight. So when approaching evening already, she thought maybe by then he will calm down, then they get to fly. He's become worse than us now. He said, forget about the flight, he said, we just cancel the flight, he said, or change the flight. Then she called up and changed the flight. Then they allow her, I think. Then you know what happened now. After the incident happened, she also didn't know. Then she was so surprised, that's why people came to know, then they were interview her. She said, like something very strong inside the colleague's mind, huh, that say, don't go on the flight. That's why your karma, very good, you won't go on the flight. There is like something warning you, protecting you. That is what nature's law is all about. That's what karma is about. Meant to be, will be. No need to answer, understand? You just share based on your understanding. You don't understand me, you don't understand, just tell them, I'm not sure. And if you want to attempt, you say, based on my understanding now, I can tell you, I think it's like that, understand? Why you want to commit yourself if you don't understand? You don't understand means, to me it's very simple. If I don't understand, I say, I don't understand, understand? But the reality is, you cannot fight the reality. Like last time, the 2004 tsunami, you have seen a lot of story. Those supposed to be there, they also didn't die. Those not supposed to be there, they go there, they die. So, nature has its way. There's a law of karma, it's very powerful. Then you saw the baby, get drifted out so far, no fear, nothing. Then float back into the house. It's all on the TV, the video shot. The tsunami came in, swept the baby away. Then the tsunami brought the baby back to the house. Then how you explain all these things? Those who have fear one all gone. Then those not supposed to be there also turn up, die. Those not supposed to die, they turn up, they never die. So it all depends. Karma is not what you think. Karma is very powerful. So whatever goodness and kindness that you have done, whatever like virtue that you have, can protect you, can help you. So if it's not meant to be, it will not happen. If it's meant to be, no matter what, it will happen. More about meditation, the question, don't try to go and ask all those things. That one is for fun, for knowledge. What for you want to know now? When you have developed the understanding and the wisdom, then you will know more, you will understand more. But these are not things that you should worry about now, understand? Learn how to take care of yourself first. When you can't make yourself peaceful, you want to help people to become peaceful. That is very strange. Like the Buddha under the, there is a Salika Sutta, I think, if I'm not wrong. Salika Sutta. This is a sutta about the Buddha expanded the wrong view and the wrong thought. I think from the three evil roots, he expand to about 44 or 45. So the last one, I think there is one he talked about. If you yourself is stuck in a quagmire, you know what is a quagmire or not? Like soft soil, soft pit, you trapped inside, you cannot come out. You cannot help somebody who is also trapped inside. But if you have come out of the quagmire already, and then you can help somebody to come out, because you come out before already. So the energy is very good, understand? Means you yourself must have the understanding. That's why learn how to save yourself, learn how to free yourself. And then when you can free yourself, then only you will have the possibility of helping others, understand? If you yourself also go through suffering, and then you try to help, very difficult, understand? Not until you have like developed the understanding, then you know you have changed. You have this ability to become less afflicted. And then that time you can help people. You can say, yeah, last time I was like that. I was also trapped. I have a lot of attachment. I have a lot of sorrow, a lot of lamentation. I cannot accept what happened. But later on I realized that all this is what my thought project and conditioned me into delusion. Then I cling to the thought, understand? Believing the thought, that's why I become miserable. If I don't believe the thought, if I had clarity of mind to see things as they are, then I would have accepted the reality. The reality is something happened. If I don't fight the reality, that fact, and accept it, immediately I'm at peace. I got no more problem. I got no more fear, no more unhappiness, no more remorse. Yeah, this is the reality. Happened already, so what? No amount of sorrow and lamentation can change the reality. So I do what I have to do. Understand? So you need to claim the insurance, claim the insurance. Need to prepare for the funeral, prepare for the funeral. Need to console those people that need you to help and console, do that. These are more important than to go and cry, freak, get angry, emotional, blame the airline, blame everybody. For what? Understand? That is emotion, anger. You are hurting yourself. Then you hit out at others through your anger, through your unhappiness. No point. Life is to be understood. And when you understand, you can live. And to live life is very simple. Just focus on the reality. Focus on resolving issues. Not trying to be right. Not trying to argue or quarrel. No point. Don't react. Be at peace. Then understand what is happening. Then with that clarity of mind, act, rasana, act with noble eightfold path, without negativity. Act with wholesomeness to resolve issue and problem amicably, so that nobody is afflicted, so that everybody can be peaceful and happy. Those who are not peaceful and happy is because they got delusion. They cannot accept the reality. They are very unhappy. They are afflicted. That is what the Buddha calls suffering. That brings about sorrow, lamentation, grief, unhappiness. That's why all the evil roots start to manifest. Okay, if you don't have any more questions, then we better end. Two more minutes. Okay, so, yes, Monica. Very good, okay. Very good, thank you so much, Monica. You can share, no problem.
I think you want to share with two years ago, my husband was confirmed having the blockage.
Oh, okay.
And he refused to do anything. And that was the time I attended your class, by the
way. Oh, okay.
And I would say, really, I'm very thankful that I was there doing the Dharma. What happened was, when the doctor told me and me that your husband is this, my husband just refused to accept it and he didn't want to do anything about it.
Okay.
Yeah, doctor, if I were to do the angiogram, I might die.
Oh, okay.
And the doctor says, it has happened. The risk is there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the choice is yours.
Yeah.
So, of course, being a spouse, I was at that time very concerned.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happened to me was that after going to all your classes with all the relatives of life and all that, it just struck me, you know, I shouldn't push him, I shouldn't, you know, let this anger me and everybody here.
Very good.
Then I told my husband, it's your choice.
Yes, very good.
Although me and your children are concerned, so what happened was, I made a decision, I talked to my children. If that's what your father wants to be, let it be.
Yes.
We interpret ourselves. So I actually told them that we don't know how bad the condition, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And if he should die or anything, just accept it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I am accepting it.
Correct, correct.
And be prepared. So I think for the 2 years, I didn't bark him and still refused to go for his yearly checkup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think he was in denial. Then, sometime in December, I spoke to him again. I said, it's due for your checkup. I have no time. So I just left him.
Yeah.
And just before Chinese New Year, I said, let's make a resolution. I said, you just go for the medical check. And he agreed.
Oh, good.
So when he did that, he went for his blood test.
Yes, yes.
The doctor was unhappy. And again he said, oh shit. The doctor said, why not you do a further test?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I want to go to China first. Okay, I said, okay, you just go. And when he came back, I said, okay, you go for this test to see the doctor. And this time he went. And he did a test and failed. And the doctor said, doctor was very firm.
Yeah.
You have to give up smoking.
Yeah.
And I think he said, okay, give up smoking. And he really didn't smoke. And the doctor said, you have to go for an angiogram to see how. And he did that before the Chinese New Year.
Oh, good.
And the doctor confirmed, he said, Mr. Tan, you have
blockage.
No, I have something I've done.
Oh, okay.
Doctor, let it be.
Yeah.
This one, so the doctor said, okay.
Oh, Sado.
So, my family is in the office.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We didn't bathe, we didn't say anything.
Yeah, very good.
And then with all the medication, this is, I know that he was not happy. But then he had no choice.
Yeah.
Because what scared him was, in the hospital, when he was in the CCU, he saw so many things happen. And I actually got the nurse to explain to him, what is this, what is that. Mm. And that really made him scared. So he told me, okay, I'm going to die, right? I said, yeah. But after 1 week later, he said he wants to eat something.
Oh, and good.
And he was saying, no. If I'm done, I don't eat it. I said, okay, I'll see you.
Yeah.
So without letting anyone of my family, I told him to the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, to the bathroom day, I brought my, I have a sleeve that I took out before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the meat was served. I said, you can't provide it, you only take what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know.
Then after taking, then he said, what is this? I have to take out the oil. Oh. Then I cannot take it, you know that. Okay, this will be my last conversation.
Oh.
And I'm so happy with all my patients and with all I have gathered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I put it in practice.
Very good. Very good, Sada. Very good, Sada, Sada. That's why when you understand somebody, when you can feel for them, the Dhamma can help. Because when you patiently listen to them and don't pressure them, because people who are in this state is already confused and has a lot of fear. That's why he will be like initially in denial and all those things. So more important thing is, what you have done is very good. Understand him, don't pressure him, don't force him, then allow him to be and talk to him nicely. Then more important is later on, if there is condition, understand not. Because I also went through Angel, and I find out before that, my son also found out. So we come to know, nowadays, medical science has advanced a lot. There is what they call the non-invasive type of procedure to check your blockage. Because 1 year ago, also before Chinese New Year, suddenly something happened. But 3 months before that, I already knew there was a sign from my meditation that tell me to go and check my heart and blockage. Because my mother got it, my elder brother got it, both also at the age of 60. So that nature tell me, you need to go and check, because your mother had it, your elder brother had it, and it's important that you go and check. Like, they already know something happened inside that. But because I very strong in my spiritual energy, so whenever I deliver Dhamma talk, I don't feel anything. Then one thing very strange, 3 months before that, this message came. Then I tell myself, how come like that? And I knew it was a message. I say, okay, if there is a case, if there is a sign, the slightest sign come, I will go. Otherwise, just let things be. So I didn't do anything. Then I think it's meant to be. I finish all my class. Then we decide to stop 1 week before Chinese New Year, remember? Then after that, supposed to break for 3 weeks or what. Exactly when the class stopped, the last class stopped, the next day was, I think, weekend or what. I went for breakfast with my wife. Then the sign came. Then I tell myself, hey, how come the thing come? So the thing come normally, I lie down, I meditate, I will recover one. This time, I lie down and meditate, not only I didn't recover, no. It like inside tell me, you better go. This time is different. So I tell my wife, okay, self-admit, call the ambulance straight away. I admitted myself. Then they check me, they jab me. Then after that, ask me to stay on for 4 or 5 days, I don't know. 4 nights, 5 days. Then, immediately before Chinese New Year, I was discharged. Then the doctor said, they suspect there is a, like, either blockage, yeah, or the heart got problem. They're not sure. But they say it's not serious. So they say 6 weeks later, after Chinese New Year, you come back and do a stress test. Understand not? If your stress test okay, they will give you continue the medication, then you're okay. If stress test fail, then they will do the angio, you know what I'm saying? So my son checked the internet, is it? Daddy, heart cannot wait 6 weeks. Balasundram happened. That's why there is an urgency. Balasundram wanted to wait 1 week, but 2 days later he just had a heart attack and he just died. So I told my son, never mind. Don't argue with the doctor, because he is a doctor, he will decide. He has his reason why he says 6 weeks later come back. So I say, we need to do what we have to do outside, private sector. No need to argue or do anything. At first my son wanted to talk to the doctor, I said no need. I say we go back, then we go and have second opinion. And that's the time I came to know a lot of things. Then people tell me there is this doctor that can have the machine to do the test. So I went to one in Bangsa. That machine was 20 years old and I didn't know. Test then confirmed some form of blockage. But the machine is very crude, not accurate, between 75 to 99.9. Wow, my son said, like that also can. 99.9 is serious, no? 75 is not so serious. No? But between, the machine cannot tell me. So I said, don't worry, we see you've got other hospital, better machine. Then my son checked, there's one in Mid Valley, very good, I heal. And that Dr. Wong happened to be a Buddhist. He said, non-invasive one, no reason, no wire, nothing, just the dye. And the dosage is 1/4 of what I did in Bangsa. I said, well, the machine is very old. So I paid 3,000. Then he did for me. Wow, very accurate. Come out. Then I asked him, so what's the result? He said, I show you on the computer. You got one artery, 100% block almost. 99 over the 100% block. The other one is okay, he said. There is one 30%, I think. That one no need to do anything. Medication will do. Then there's another one, also 70% or 70 over percent. So I say, what's your advice? Well, I checked already. I talked to him. I asked him one question only. I said, you're confident in that? He said, I've been doing this for so long. So far, no problem, is it? Although he got standby or something, but never before complication. So I say, good. I check your CV. I know who you are. And I trust you, I said. Yeah. So when can you give me a date? So he straight away looked on. He said, this Friday we can do it. I was there on Wednesday. Friday means 2 days later. I said, okay, do. But this doctor very good, he said. But your wife, government servant, no. You go IGN free, you know. I said, I go IGN, I cannot choose doctor, no. So that day, I don't know what doctor, no. But this amount that he quoted to me, he said, won't exceed 40,000. Oh, I said, this amount I can easily afford. I said, so no problem. I said, I trust you, I let you do. Then later on, I came to know he is a Buddhist. You know. He will take vegetarian the day before he do my operation. You know. Then he will chant the Satta Bhujanga. You know what is that? The seven factors of enlightenment. You know, that night and that morning. Then only he do the operation. Wow, then later on I come to know. I said, no wonder we got affinity. I saw in his clinic, got one poster on the side, all the Dutanga monk from Thailand one, walking in the forest. I say, you Buddhist? He said, yes. Then only he tell me he take vegetarian before he do operation and he chant the Satta Pujanga. That's why it's meant to be. Then I let him do. That day itself, I came out, I was okay. If I have not done that, my son told me, that 100% block, any time I will get heart attack like my brother and my mother. So actually, that premonition from the meditation helped me 3 months ago. With that one, the warning came, the sign came. So nature has its way, so you don't worry. But nowadays, it's very safe, I was told. Because this doctor, he used soft wire. Soft wire, he expert in soft wire. He go for specialization. And he has done many. He was the head of UPM last time. So because of that, after he discussed and told me all these things, I felt there is affinity. That's why I recommend a lot of friends to go and see him. He's a very good doctor, very good doctor. So don't worry, let things be. Even on medication, you can come out of it. My mother got a heart attack. He didn't go to the NGO. During that time, 20 years earlier than me, there was no really safe procedure or good procedure. So that time, my mother was already 60. So her health at that time was not so good because of diabetes. So the doctor gave her medication. And surprisingly, she very disciplined. She take the medication. She survived until 89. You know, he didn't do anything, but he take the medication. The medication is for blood thinning, for cholesterol, for diabetic. But he really disciplined after that. He don't eat all those funny things anymore. And he certain day, choy some chai means chai. Chinese New Year chai means ready chai. Everybody eat good food. He separate. Choya, he go and take the simple vegetarian. My mother is very disciplined. And because of that, she survived. Live until 89. So that's why it helped. Then, like I told you all the story, when my father was very ill, he wanted to eat asam laksa. I tell my brother, don't worry. Don't forget about what the doctor said. We wheelchair him out and eat. Then after that, bring him back. Because he is already, my sister told me, all the organs fail already. You somehow want to keep him there for one. Then we talk to him and say, what you want to do? What you want to eat? First thing he straight away say, asam laksa. We are from Alastair. So we straight away get the wheelchair. Then we like push him out. We didn't even get discharged from the hospital. Push him out all the way to the lift, then send him down to the car park, then we take him out. Then after that, bring him back. Wow, that day I saw the joy in his face. He was so happy. Then he tell me after that, he said, if possible, he wants to die at home, he said. I said, no problem. I will take you back, I said. So we apply for discharge. Then 2 days later, I took him back. So we reached Alostar. He was very happy. Then after that, I know he liked the Penang Adventist Hospital. So I told my brother, convince him, say, go to that hospital. Well, when he was young, he got a major operation ulcer there, and he survived. And he wanted to donate to that hospital, and he wanted to do a lot of good things to that hospital. So I told my brother, I say, I leave it to you, you talk to him. So they talked to him, and surprisingly, the next day they called me. He willing to go. He's so happy after being back for one day. So that's how he went. But then, like my sister told me, the test, blood test, the result came out, all the organs failed already. It's like waiting already, not much hope really. So sent to Penang, he was very happy, the same hospital. Then he told my brother, yeah, this was the hospital, he got the operation last time, 30, 40 years ago. Everything. Then he somehow talked about the bed, can jack up one. He said, next time buy one at home like that, same one. So we say yes. He was so happy. But the blood test again, the doctor confirmed, he said, not much time left, you all better come and see it. So 2 days later, he passed away very peacefully. So life is like that, only for my mind, not what you think. But you have gratitude because he was my dad, he gave me life. Then he did all those things for us. He was a very responsible father. So I told my brothers and sister and my mother, I said, you don't worry. He is such a beautiful dad. He will have good life immediately after this passing away. So no need to grieve. So that's why that funeral, we were so happy. Everybody was so full of joy. Okay, we better end later again. Oh, sorry, I took extra 10 to 12 minutes. Okay. We will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merit, and we. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaka mahindika punyang tang anamoditva chirang rakhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share this merit, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share this merit which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice. May it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relative, and may they all to be well and happy. Okay. Blessing for the nation. Devo asatukalena sasa sampati hito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be prosperous and peaceful. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Ipinna punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we now follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Huh? There you go.